I don't want to work in a role that just does one thing.
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. I'm joined by Ife. How are you doing, Ife?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So can you just do like an introduction? Who is Ife? What do you like doing?
Okay, I am a technical writer. I have worked as a technical writer, but I'm currently learning software development. So an extra skill and kind of an upper hand when applying for jobs. So that is what I'm doing right now. And then I have graduated from the university. I just finished my final exams. So I have enough time on my hands. And I'm using that time to learn software development, just physically develop myself in different areas to face the next stage of my life.
That's very wonderful. That's very wonderful. How was university? How was it for you? Did you enjoy it? Was it something you're like, nah?
Well, I'm in Nigeria, so everything is very eventful. My time in the university was very eventful. I'm happy for the experience. I learned a lot when it comes to friends, finances, so different things. I learned a lot. So it wasn't boring. My time in university was not boring at all. I'm happy for the experience.
That's very lovely. That's very lovely. A lot of people just like give different experiences and outcomes of university. And some people do enjoy university. Some people don't enjoy university, but we're happy that you enjoyed your university. So can you tell us a bit more like technical writing, right? What is it exactly? What is technical writing? What are your roles you're required to do as a technical writer?
Well, a technical writer is not only in the software space. You also have technical writers for different things, because technical writers put together manuals, user guides, tutorials on how to use a particular product. Just like when you buy a new television and there's a user manual that comes with the whole package, it is a technical writer that writes or puts together the user guide or user manual. So that is my job as a technical writer. I write articles on software products, software tools, to teach how to use those tools and software. I break down difficult concepts and I break down difficult concepts for readers to understand and continue in their software journey. So that's what I do as a technical writer.
Thank you for explaining that. I think it clears up the air. A lot of people, when they usually hear technical writing, it comes off from like a bit more like technological point of view. Like people are like, oh, technical writer, something to do with tech. But with the way you explain it, like, of course, almost everything has a technical writer. Everything, it's just people who are just explaining what the user needs to use to be able to use the product. So you mentioned that you're saying that you are learning maybe some software development. What pushed you to go that way now?
I think the reality is that the market is getting kind of competitive. So I just want to have an upper hand. I don't want to work in a role that just does one thing. I want a role where I can do many things and keep myself engaged in that role. So I wouldn't mind roles where I can work as a technical writer and a software developer. So that's why I decided to learn some software development skills and tools So, and also as a technical writer, it's also good to learn about software development. That is, if you are documenting software and if you are documenting software product. So it's good to know about the software development lifecycle, what goes in to software development, so that you can effectively write deliverable tutorials and the rest. So that's why I decided to learn software development.
I think that's a good choice that you made there, especially in today's world where a lot of things are really changing. Like you said, that things are always changing, competitions are rising. These days on Twitter itself, you look every corner, it's a developer, you look at every corner, it's a technical writer. But I think having both of them is a strong suit. Having both of them is a strong suit where but unique from someone who just a technical writer or someone who just a developer. We wish you all the best in the journey of learning developership. Then you recently wrote an article. Okay, it's not that recent, but it's recent enough. That the five mistakes that you made as a beginner in tech. I'm just gonna list out the five mistakes. Then you can get a bit more in detail about them. So mistake one was distractions. Mistake two was maintaining relationship. Mistake three, inactive in communities. Mistake four, money-minded. And mistake five was confusion. So I think the main ones I think I would like to focus is distractions, inactive in communities, and money-minded. By distractions, what distractions did you really face? Like in that way that you had to put it as a mistake for, I think a lot of people might face that. Why did you say it's a mistake?
Distracted in the sense that decided to learn front end development, I think, when I started. But then when another person say, oh, I got a job as a back end developer, then suddenly I would be distracted and move to back end development. And I also noticed that a lot of software developers or beginner software developers were kind of, not necessarily beginner software developers, experienced software developers were getting jobs because they had a large Twitter following. So I joined in the software development space. Let me just try and, above market myself and everything. And that was kind of a distraction because once I started what I was supposed to learn, I didn't learn the basics and fundamentals of what I was supposed to learn at that time. And when it got to me working during my internship, I noticed that I wasn't as good as I was supposed to be. Didn't know some things yet, and yes, that's why I highlighted distraction as one of the mistakes.
Thank you for explaining a bit more in detail about that. In your article, you're saying that basically one of the ways the distraction that you mentioned before was like, it was more like you were posting the things you're doing and you were getting engagement, but in terms of progressing in the tech career, like your tech knowledge, things were not
as
good as it is.
Yes, that's why I mentioned that. I noticed that some developers were getting jobs because of their large following. And that's when I went into, I don't know how to put it, like content creation, like being an influencer, developer influencer kind of. That was what I was instead of building my skills, I was focusing on writing tweets that would get a lot of engagements, and I'll feed up on those on the high I get from the engagements, and just keep trying to put out tweets every day instead of focusing on building my skills. So that was a very big distraction.
I think that says a lot of people, I think they do that. It's not like they do it on, it's not something you plan to do intentionally. It was something that happened over time, like it's a part of building in public where you're like, oh, I need people to see that I'm posting, I'm doing this. But it seems like it ended up becoming the main thing instead of actually learning the skills that you were talking about. And well, I'm just happy that you notice it ahead of time and you're able to pivot your time in to the better side of like learning what you're actually supposed to be doing, and hopefully that made you a better person. Then moving on to the next mistake was being inactive in communities. In your article, you write that you're getting into communities for more of optics. You're just getting into communities just to be said that I was in a community. Can you just give us an example of how it was like where you get in communities and you're barely doing anything in them?
Okay. In Nigeria, there's a very popular tech community for women, and that is She Code Africa. And I joined She Code Africa, but I wasn't active in it. I felt that if I joined and I talked about and I tweeted about me being in the community, maybe it would make me look good. And also open source communities were also popular then. I think they're also still popular now. So I would just join random communities, tech communities, both open source and not open source, and just tweet about them so that it make me look good to people that didn't know me, or people that already knew me, and people that were experienced or more advanced in the tech space. So that was why I highlighted that as a mistake.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think a lot of these mistakes you mentioned in your article, a lot of people go through them to an extent. I've been at fault for some of them, and people have been at fault for some of them also. It's just like communities is it's a good thing to do, but you cannot say you're part of a community if you're not doing anything in the community. I think that's one way to put it. You can just not
Yeah.
be, cannot be there. But if people in the community are to say, do you know Aubrey? Do you know? If they were like, no, who's that? But she's part of a community, he's part of a community, and like we don't know that. Maybe in terms of name, yes, but in terms of presence, you're not part of the community. And I think people should always strive harder to like when you join communities, actually try and do something, try to be seen by people, try and contribute to its progress. Then one of your last mistakes you talked about was being money-minded. We live in an era where money does run the world. We cannot escape from it. Money is very important. But what did you mean by, in your article, you say your points about why the faces you probably the challenges face being money-minded. But can you explain it a bit more in detail? Like what was truly going through your head during that time when you're a bit more money-minded?
Okay, I needed money then. I needed money. I had until that time, I had not yet worked. I had not yet been employed in anywhere. So I just wanted to get a skill as fast as possible and then get a job as soon as possible so that I would get paid. So that was just my focus. My focus was getting paid, and that didn't allow me to recognize the time I'm supposed to use to learn, because when trying to get a new skill, there's a time to learn. There's a time to learn and the fundamentals, because if one doesn't get the basics and fundamentals of the skill, it's going to turn that person in the long run, because there are some problems that don't require a tool. They just require some fundamental thinking or fundamental concepts of that skill, fundamental knowledge of that skill. It's not always bringing up tools to solve every problem, mixing tools together, putting two or three tools together. It's not always the case. So I didn't take that time to learn the basics. I just wanted a job as soon as possible. And that did not work well, because when I eventually got the job, I noticed it didn't come down to learn the basics. I wasn't doing an excellent work. Yes, I wasn't doing an excellent work. So that's why I highlighted that as a mistake.
Thank you for saying that. I think, like you said, you just more focused on just like, oh, I need to know this so I can get a job and start making money. Or, of course, you end up taking a bit of shortcuts, which then, of course, when you enter the job place, now they kind of now hurting you in the long run. And hopefully, I think you everything went out eventually. You started learning from the mistakes and you became who you are today. So I would like to talk more about, from what I'm hearing from your story, I would count you'd count yourself as a software developer, right? If I'm not wrong.
I hope so.
Okay, that's very good. So it's just more to help me with the question now. Like, so from being a software developer, when you entered the workspace, how was that situation for you? Most people might come from the traditional route of going to school for it, doing their computer science degree, software engineering degrees. But for you, it was mostly self-taught and eventually got a job. How was that? You know, how did people look at you? How did people communicate? You know, how some people might say, oh, she learned things on YouTube or some courses. How did that affect you in the working environment? Did that make you feel a bit untrustworthy of yourself? Like, I don't think I'm as well knowledge as the next person, or it was totally fine?
I've just worked as a technical writer, not as a software developer yet. But the people I've worked with, they have been very, very kind. If I don't know something and I go to them to ask questions, this is after I've gone through Google, of course. So when I go to them to ask questions, they're very kind to put me through everything. There is no discrimination of any kind. There's no judgments. There are no judgmental looks or remarks. So far, I've been enjoying the workspace.
That's very lovely. At least there's no any judgment or anything. So I think we can dive a bit more deeper into technical writing so people can understand the entire structure of technical writing. So you said as you do your technical writing, when is the technical writer involved in a project, for example? Can you explain us how maybe there's a project that needs to be done? When does the technical writer get involved? What is they're doing their role? What are some of the things do they do with the rest of the team to communicate? How is that entire duration of a project like as a technical writer?
Technical writers are supposed to be at the beginning of every software development lifecycle. They're supposed to be at the beginning. It's not fair to shut out technical writer until the last stage. It is not fair at all. So I feel the technical writer should be at the beginning and at every stage of a software development, software products life cycle. Is shut out until the last stage, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the technical writer, and it's possible that the technical writer may not document the product the way they are supposed to document that product or that software, the product. So I think for this, there's docs as code where the documentation gets updated automatically. There's continuous integration, continuous development. There's a space for that. So a technical writer should be at every stage of the software development lifecycle and not just at the end. So, yeah.
Thank you for explaining that. Like, the technical writer is someone who's supposed to be part of the team. I think some of these things get looked over, the nuances of technical writers, especially like with companies that are starting out and stuff like that. They're like, maybe we mostly just want developers, technical writers. We call them at the end, they look at what we did, and they write their entire thing they need to write. But as you said, that it needs to be at the start, it has to be in the middle, it has to be at the end. The technical writers be there with the product and as it's getting developed until it reaches its final stage. So now, if you can just tell us about, you know, like, as you, what challenges have you ever experienced just in general, and how you overcame them, like in terms of technical writing, especially when you're starting out, what challenges were you facing and how did you overcome them?
Oh, yes. As when I started, there wasn't enough resources to learn technical writing. There wasn't enough. But because I was determined to be a technical writer, I scoured the internet, articles of technical writers. I asked questions. I joined Write the Docs community. I asked questions. I got answers. So, the only challenge I faced was lack of sufficient resources, learning resources. But right now, there's an abundance of resources for technical writers. So I don't think that would be a challenge for anybody now. I think the only challenge would be where to start from. So, yes, now things are going well, although there are always updates and new things to know as a technical writer, and it's just a matter of keeping up. So yes, that's everything.
Technical writing, like you said at the start, wasn't a lot of resources, but now it's definitely improved. So in terms of the technical writing skill, how easily is it transferable to other writing skills, maybe copywriting, maybe just book writing or article writing? How do those technical writing skills, do they easily transfer to other writing skills, or it's a winter different thing?
As a technical writer, your writing has to be concise, straight to the point, but as detailed as possible. So anyone that can write English and knows basic grammar can be a technical writer. You just have to know how to be concise. And thankfully, there are tools for that. There are editing tools for that. Also, there are different kinds of, or there are different niches for a technical writer. For example, I'm a technical content writer, meaning I write blog posts and articles. But then we have documentarians. You just write documentation. And the technical writers, they focus mainly the documentation. So yes, that's it. So for technical content writers, skills, something that would differentiate us from documentarians, I think, would be SEO. Yes, I think search engine optimization would differentiate us from documentarians. So yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. So those are the skills: basic grammar, writing, then maybe SEO, and maybe tools for documentarians. You have tools like Postman if they are documenting REST APIs. They have Postman. There's Git also for documentarians. What are technical writers? Technical content writers still need to know about Git if we are documenting. I think those are the skills.
Oh, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Like, technical writing is a great skill to have. And as you can see, as you mentioned before, like, you know, most people might confuse a technical writer and a documenter, but it's totally two different things. They focus on two different areas, and everyone has got their strong suit in their areas. So now, one of our last questions is that, what advice would you give to the younger people who are also, like, you know, maybe pursuing something in technical writing? What advice would you give to them?
Okay. I would tell them to be determined, to not give up, and to not be intimidated. That even though now there's an abundance of technical writers, or people that want to be technical writers, as long as they want it, they will have it. So they should go for it. There are a lot of learning resources to help them. If they don't know where to start, they could DM any technical writers that are already working as technical writers, or have gone past the stage, have gone past the beginner stage. And I'm sure those technical writers will put them through, give them some advice. So you shouldn't feel intimidated in any way. So yes, technical writers are really important in the life cycle of every software product, and even outside software writers are important. We have health technical writers, financial technical writers. Technical writers are important in a lot of industries. So they should know the industry they like, that they know they are comfortable, they will be comfortable working in, and get it. Yes, I think that's the advice I would give them.
Thank you for those lovely words of advice. They're very, very impactful. Just get at it. Just get there, start learning, start putting the work in, and just eventually you get there. I think that's something. I think, like you said, there's so many resources, there's so much going on, and people might get a feel of confusion. But if they just like pick one thing and just, then they start, then the rest will become history. So, if I can just give people your social medias, your contact places where people can get in touch with you, share ideas, collaborate.
Okay, I'm very active on Twitter at underscore Ife Olua Favor. That is IfeOluwaFavor. It's a lot, but I hope you get it. And I'm also active on LinkedIn, as Ife Olua Favor. So yes, I hope to connect with all of you, with anyone that wants to connect and collaborate. Thank you.
Thank you for the information. Thank you. People will definitely reach out. I think these days technical writing is something that is growing big and more and more people want to learn it. So if you want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the podcast. It was nice having you. We learned a lot about technical writing, what to do, and how to develop as a person.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share, that's the only way we grow.